Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, October 16th. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we're speaking with Latoya Turner of I Do. And before we speak with Latoya, I just want to remind everyone, those of you out there who are listening, if you have a question or comment, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and we'll be sure to get your questions on. Also, I'll be starting the tweet chat up in a very few minutes. And so if you want to jump on there, you can. If you have questions there, we'll get your questions on from there as well. Now I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and I believe she has some beauty news. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, and welcome back, Latoya. This won't be very long. Some quick little reminders in the beauty news tonight. Registration opens this month in October for IBS New York, which will take place March 12th through the 14th. Again, IBS, the International Beauty Show in New York, is March 12th through 14th. If you want more information on the show itself, you can go to ibsnewyork.com. And to exhibit, you can call 888-454-5055. Again, to exhibit at the show, you can call 888-454-5055. And just for more general information, you can go to ibsnewyork.com. They're celebrating 100 years of beauty, and it's presented by American Salon. And again, for those of you who've been listening the past couple of weeks, again, the deadline to enter NAHA Awards, the North American Hairstyling Awards, will be February the 10th, 2017. That's the deadline. It's the very latest that you can enter to compete in next year's event presented by the Professional Beauty Association. And the NAHA Awards ceremony will take place Sunday, July 9th, 2017, at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay, so again, this is an online entry only, and to enter the NAHA Awards and to review all the rules and regulations and eligibility requirements, you can visit probeauty.org/enter, E-N-T-E-R, NAHA, N-A-H-A. All right, thank you very much. What was the date on IBS again? IBS was March 14th, hold on, March 12th through 14th, I'm sorry, March 12th through 14th. Okay, cool. For some reason, I always felt like it was in April before, but maybe not, March 12th through 14th. Okay, I will be sure to make note of that. Thank you very much. Again, as we said earlier, we are speaking with Latoya Turner of I Do. Latoya, welcome back to the show, first of all.
Thank you. Thank you, lady.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'll be honest with you, it's been a long, long time since you were on the show before, and I know we were talking eyelash extensions, but can you introduce yourself to our audience? And just tell a little bit about what you guys do at I Do.
Okay, well, my name is LaToya Turner, and I am the owner and president of iDo. We specialize in eyelash enhancements and eyebrow enhancements. Pretty much anything to do with eyelashes and eyebrows, we do it. Right now, we have two locations in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, but we are not limited to that area, so we definitely travel. And the microblading has definitely been a great addition, an added service to the iDo menu. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so microblading, before we talk a little bit about what it is, how it's done, and that kind of thing, tell me a little bit about, okay, who's able to perform this technique? Anybody that's able to do eyelash extensions, or is there a special
That really depends on each state, and that's where some people. You have to do your own research, like I said, within your own state. Technically, microblading is a form of tattooing, because we are opening the skin and we are pushing color under the skin. And so by those terms, we are tattooing. Since it does not last as long as a traditional tattoo, some people are saying, well, it's semi-permanent. But again, I would definitely look into, each state and see what your state requires. I know that in Virginia, it's classified as a tattoo. So right now I am the only one who is a licensed permanent makeup artist in the studio, so I am licensed and certified through the microblading.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Now let's go back a little bit, because there's, your eyelash extensions, and then there's eyebrow extensions.
Yes.
How different, and I know you said it's like tattooing and you're going underneath the skin, but is the end result very close to or the same as eyebrow extensions?
Oh, no. Eyebrow extensions are completely different, and they are extremely temporary. Even though eyebrow extensions, the look is extremely real, the downside of them is they do not last long.
This is more like brow tattooing.
But the microblading, like brow tattooing, lasts much longer. It can last up to 2 years, some even 3 years. But the brow extensions can only last maybe 10 to 14 days. It's very temporary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with the with the brow extensions, like I said, it looks very real, but you have to be extremely careful wearing them. You can't, wash your brows. You can't rub them. Careful when you're sleeping. It's a lot to wear the extensions.
Right.
But
so,
the microblading is a lot more better long term, but not as long as a traditional tattoo.
So let's go back a little bit, because there may be some people listening that may not really understand how much of a professional you are.
Go back a little bit
and just kind of tell everybody about your certifications and your licenses, because you are a licensed cosmetologist, correct?
Yes, I have my cosmetology license, and I started this business by doing the cluster lashes back in 2007. And by doing the cluster lashes in the salon, my clients noticed them and wanted me to do their lashes. And then word of mouth got around to other salons within the mall and within the area. So it got to the point where I had more requests for lashes than hair. And it really wasn't even a thought of starting a business. It was, okay, let me satisfy these people who want lashes while I'm still doing hair. not realizing it was a business. But it got to the point where it was a greater demand. And once I came across semi-permanent extensions, I got trained with Extreme Lashes in 2008, and it really took off from there. So along with cosmetology, I've been trained with eyelash extensions, First with Extreme Lashes, and up until 3 or 4 years ago, I started training with other companies to learn different techniques, because I realized that one person or one company doesn't know all. So, and then with that, I also looked into the different ways to enhance the face.
Right.
Mainly speaking with the face. So that's when, you know, getting to the eyebrow extensions and the microblading and the tattooing. Like
now,
I said, I am permanent makeup licensed, and I did that back in 2011.
Okay. Now, I mean, I don't want to get too far away from the microblading, but I just feel like I need to unpack some of this because you do so much. And I just think it's important for the listeners to really know and understand the differences between a lot of this. Like, you started with the the cluster lashes. Now, explain to me. Do you see, because you started doing lash extensions, and I know there are some people out there who think that lash extensions take your lashes out, and some people who think, you know, one does this and the other does that, and sometimes I just think it all depends on who's actually, who's actually doing the lashes and how they're being removed. I think has a lot to do.
Just like any other profession, just like every other profession, especially within beauty. Like, for example, with acrylic nails, it all depends on how they're put on, who maintains them, and how the client maintains them when they're at home. The same thing with hair coloring. You know, hair dye, I mean, regardless of who puts it in, it's very dangerous, but how the hairstylist treats the hair when they're in the chair and how they instruct the student when they go home how to treat it. That's very important. So the same thing with lash extensions. It really does depend on who the technician, their training, and how the extensions are put on. And so another big thing with the microblading is the training and the amount of practice and definitely before and after pictures.
right. Now, when you did the cluster lashes, and I guess this is just my own curiosity, and you transitioned to the lash extensions, did you see that there was a benefit of doing one more so than the other? Because I know, I guess now you do more of the lash extensions than anything else with the lashes. Did you think that lash extensions were better than the cluster lashes, or is just an option? How was it for you?
Both. I saw it as, well, because I was, again, I started because I was also wearing the cluster lashes, and when I came across the semi-permanent, I said, those might be better long-term wear.
Right.
Because I realized the clusters are heavier and they're thicker. And your lash lines aren't able to breathe and grow as it would with a semi-permanent extension. So I saw it as a benefit for those who wanted a long-term wear. And so when I transitioned my lashes from clusters to lash extensions and was able to show my own customers, like, look, I still have my natural lashes. They're actually fuller than they were when I wore the clusters, and they're actually healthier. Then come on, let's see, like, make the transition also.
So who does your lashes?
I offer both because I do realize that not everyone wants a semi-permanent extensions. Not everyone is
a
lash addict. There are some people who just need them for the weekend, who just want them for a party. And so we still offer these cluster lashes.
Nice. Now, who does your lashes?
My fellow stylists. We lash each other, my team. I have 3 other ladies that work with me, and we definitely keep lashes on each other. It's a must.
I knew it was somebody that you had to have either trained or who works very closely with you.
Yes. That's one of the things that I, you know, with my team and with my clients, I tell them that the things that we use and the services that we offer in the studios are things that we use and do ourselves. So, you know, when they ask about the eyelash extensions, we can tell them our own experience and we can show them what we look like with them on before and after pictures.
Same
thing with the microblading. I can tell people, you know, how it is because I myself had my eyebrows microbladed.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the brow extensions, because I know some people have started to do them, but I still don't hear a lot about them. Let's talk a little bit about that and transition into the microblading. Because
yes.
I'm just curious. I've never had it done. I've never seen it done on some actually, you know, I mean, you see pictures, but I've never seen someone live with it done.
Okay, well, the brow extensions, again, are very temporary, and so I tell people that it's a good way to experience a 24/7 eyebrow before having them permanently done. So if
mm-hmm.
someone has very thin brows, have a lot of patches, have a major scar, or want a different shape, or they want to play with a different shape, but they're not too sure if they want it 24/7 permanently,
mm-hmm.
or even quote-unquote semi-permanent with the microblading, then I would suggest a brow extension. And have them wear it for a week, up to 2 weeks. And if they're
right.
able to do it with that design, then go ahead and do the next step. But it's really a temporary thing with the brow extensions. And that's because the adhesive is not strong as the lash extensions.
Gotcha.
The brow extensions,
gotcha.
Some of them can go on your skin and some are attached to your natural brow hairs. So since some of the extensions are attached to your skin, your natural oil can break down the adhesive much faster than the lash extension.
Gotcha.
Because the lash extension doesn't touch your skin. So
right.
That's why it's very temporary.
So if that's the case, then the cost for the service, is it a lot cheaper than lash extensions?
For the brow extensions, again, it depends on the area, but for I say it's a little bit higher than the eyelash extensions because it takes a little bit more time to construct a new brow versus setting up an eyelash frame.
Okay.
And fellow technicians know what that means. But yeah. But you know, measuring eyebrows and drawing them and you know and designing a new brow takes longer than setting up an eyelash frame. So yeah, it does cost a little bit more. Even though it's a
Now that you say that brings me to another question, but I'm gonna hold that to later. I'm gonna move right into the microblading. So now
mm-hmm.
let's really get into the microblading and but why microblading? I know you were probably looking for different services to add and things like that, but why microblading? Blading.
Well, because to be honest with everyone, it's really an old technique. The term microblading is new.
Mm-hmm.
Manual tattooing has been around for many, many years. But the
mm-hmm.
fact that this has become more accessible to licensed professionals, whether it be cosmetologists, current makeup artists, or, again, I don't know other states and how they classify them, but it's become more accessible to have a manual tool, a blade, and pigment and be able to do the service.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I decided to add it to iDo Menu is because it is more along the semi-permanent side versus a standard tattoo. For those
gotcha.
Who, you know, brow styles change.
Right.
You know, some people may want a thinner brow, a higher arch, a rounder tail later on. So the fact that this will last to the longest 3 years, people will be able to change it. Versus a standard tattoo, it will last at least 5 and have a very long time to fade. So this
gotcha.
Gives me, not only myself, but this gives other technicians and other stylists and clients an opportunity to gain more clientele for you know, those in their 20s, well into their 60s, versus
mm-hmm.
people who only want the permanent brow were a more mature crowd.
Right.
It opens up the clientele book, definitely.
Right.
mm-hmm.
So the actual look of it, how much different is it from actually getting your brows tattooed? Because sometimes when people get their brows tattooed, it's just too harsh to me. It just looks too harsh.
Yes, I see a lot of those too. And that depends on the artist. There are some...
Okay.
And I have to relate this to eyelash extensions. For example, there are some male salons who offer eyelash extensions but do not specialize in them.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being
right.
said, there are some body tattoo artists who specialize in body art but will dabble in eyebrows but don't specialize in eyebrows.
Gotcha.
And so they may use black pigment versus a softer brown, a more natural brown. And there are some who are used to drawing harsher lines versus an eyebrow shape, you know, hard lines on the body versus
yes.
on the face. So it's,
yeah.
it's all about the technician and their technique. But
gotcha.
The difference between a traditional tattoo, I mean, you have a solid filled-in brow. You have a powder technique done with either a like an electric pen or a traditional gun tattoo. The difference with the microblading is that it's a single blade on a manual pen, and you get to actually draw the hair strokes. You get to mimic the direction of the hair strokes. So the traditional tattoo is a solid filled-in brow versus microblading. It's hair strokes to mimic the rest of the hair to blend in as well.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, you said for microblading, it can last up to 2 years?
Yes, 2 to 3 years, and that depends on really the person's skin and what they do to them, to their brows and to their face. For example, if someone is used to getting a lot of facials, microabrasions, things like that, then their brows will fade faster. If they're
gotcha.
Used to tanning a lot, then it will fade faster.
I've had
my brows in for over a year now, and it's very little fading that's been done. So mine will probably last close to 3 years.
Gotcha. So with the fading, does it fade completely, or will you still see some brow, you know, within that period of time, closer to the 2 to 3 years, will you still see some brow, or does it fade completely?
The purpose of the microblading is for it to fade completely out, and
okay.
the technician has to have the right has to know the right depth.
Gotcha.
To go under the skin. And again, the microblading is supposed, not supposed to, but microblading is more of a semi-permanent tattoo. So we're only going under 1 millimeter under the skin. Very, very
yeah.
shallow. So
gotcha.
If technician goes too deep, then the tattoo will, it will blur, it will last a lot longer, and it will take a lot longer to fade. But the
gotcha.
Point of microblading is for it to fade completely out.
Because, I mean, you never know. Within 2 to 3 years, you may want to change your brow look, shape anyway.
Right. And brow shape and styles always change in the magazines. I mean, you have
right.
right now, the thicker brow is really in.
Right.
A full brow is definitely in right now versus in the, you know, in the early 90s, the 80s, they had a different brow. The 70s, we definitely had a different brow then. So it just so some people can, you know, wear their brows for a whole decade and then change them out.
Right. Now, how about what about if someone just came in and, you know, they kind of had thin brows, but they wanted the brow a little fuller? Would you just like, well, let's just say they needed more brow on the tail end of the brow, or are you able to just do just the end of the brow, or do you have to do the whole entire brow?
Well, that really depends on how full and thick the base part of their brow is. If it's a pretty full
mm-hmm.
brow and they're only missing their tail, then there's really no sense in putting a bunch of hair strokes and going through the entire brow. Let me just focus on the tail. But
gotcha.
For those who have spaces throughout the brow and missing quite a bit of their tail, then we'll just go ahead and make a whole new brow. And just in case, if they're already thinning and not anticipating growing more hair,
mm-hmm.
or if they're expecting to lose all of their hair, then they'll have a full brow to fall back on.
Gotcha.
Like myself, I had my brows were fairly thin, so I decided to have the full brow done. And just in case I'm in, you know, another part of the world and I have a waxing accident, I still have a brow to fall back on.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think I read where you can get touch-ups Is it like every 6 months or something?
Yes, and again, depending on what the person, how the person takes care, especially during the aftercare and what they do to their face, like, facials and things like that,
mm-hmm.
they can get touched up anywhere from 6 months to a year or maybe even 2 years.
Now, I know some people
We offer the second touch-up within 3 to 4 weeks because sometimes the initial appointment, you want to set the frame or a major design of the brow, let that heal, let their skin heal, and they'll have them come back in and add more hair strokes. So we include 2 appointments. Anything after 6 months, then it's a new appointment. It's a new set.
Gotcha. No, I know some people are probably wondering how painful is this process.
There are some awesome numbing creams out there. There really are. I could have gone.
But otherwise, it hurts.
I could have gone to sleep if the room that I was in was more quiet. I have videos. I have not put them online because of, client confidentiality. But I do have videos of people sleeping, getting this done. And I have to wake them up when I'm finished. I'm like, hey, you have your new brows now. And I asked them on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst pain of their life. And the highest I've received so far was a 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So what we do is, and each salon studio technician is different. And I have 2 different numbing solutions. The first one is a cream. It's topical cream. We can't inject anyone because I'm not a doctor, not licensed to do that. If I was in a doctor's office, then I would definitely inject people. But I cannot. To really numb them out. But we use a topical cream. The first one lasts 25 minutes. We let that sit, for 20, 25 minutes. And then I open up the skin with the blade. I go through the brow design, each brow. And then I put a numbing solution on, and that solution sits for another 5 minutes. After that, sits in a stronger lidocaine, then most of the time they're really, really numb after that. They'll feel pressure, but they won't feel the bleed.
And how long of a process is that when you're actually designing the brow?
That can take up to an hour, not even.
Okay.
The longest part of the appointment is drawing the brows, measuring, designing, and confirming with the client, the brow design. Once we're both in agreement, and I tell people this can take anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, don't apologize. I tell the clients, don't keep saying, oh, I'm sorry, can I change this, can I look at that? No, it's your money, it's your face, it's your eyebrows. We're going to nitpick this eyebrow, we're going to pick these apart until we get them as close to sisters as possible. Not twins, but sisters. We're going to
do it.
And then, so we do that for anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And then the numbing cream, the first one takes 25 minutes. We do the initial design, but the second numbing cream sits for 5 minutes, and then the rest of the tattooing. So the appointment can take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Now, what about cost? What's the cost to have something like this done?
I will say that the average is about $500. Some people can charge up to $900 or even $1,000, $900 to $1,000 for microblading. It's $500, and that includes your 2 appointments, and they pay the $500 up front because I have people ask me, well, can I split it in half? No, you cannot. It's $500 up front, and then you come back in 3 to 4 weeks for your touch-up. I have seen that some people do offer payment plans, it depends on the area. And since I'm located in Hampton Roads in Southern Virginia, I do know that in Northern Virginia they can charge higher. In the D.C. area, in Miami they charge a lot more. In New York they may charge more. And you also have to deal with who else is around you. If you have a lot of other technicians offering that service, then the prices might be a little bit lower because of the competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let me ask you this, because now, Let me stop because I've been asking all the questions. Let me see if Janice has a question or two. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking. I was waiting. Well, one of the questions that I had was, are there any medical concerns with microblading? Is there anything that the client should be concerned with? Or when a client comes in and wants this, is there ever a time when you say, no, you in particular can't have this done for any reason?
Okay. There are some instances where, I hate to say this, but judging by the skin, just by looking at the skin, you might say, you know what, okay, this might not be ideal right now. And since I am not a licensed esthetician or dermatologist, I would just refer them to go to their doctor or find one. And so, you know, their skin clears up or whatever I see is not there. Because we're using a blade and we're opening up the skin, you don't want to cause more issues. If someone is pregnant, just like with eyelash extensions, you know, there's some technicians who will not lash anyone pregnant. There's some technicians who won't even put on lash extensions, who won't lash as they're pregnant. But that all depends on the doctor and what they say is best for them. So get a doctor's opinion. If anyone's recently finished currently going through chemotherapy, definitely consult your physician. Medications, just like a standard tattoo. Again, we're opening up the skin, and the person and the clients have to realize that we're opening up your skin, and we're pushing a foreign pigment in. So if they have any concerns about it, they need to consult their doctor first. And that's why we have awesome waiver forms for, to be honest.
Gotcha.
That's interesting. So they have to state, you know, either the medications that they're on or, you know, any issues that they may have had or any allergies that they have, because if they don't tell us the whole truth and they have issues later on, then, you know, we have that waiver form. But, you know, knowing things up front, and as a trained and licensed tattoo artist and microblading technician, we are trained to, you know, ask certain things and have the waiver forms in place, so, you know, cover our back, you know, have our own back.
Right.
Some people are concerned about the pigment and the material and the ingredients within pigment, like far as MRIs and scans. I will say that the pigments have changed over the years, but again, I would consult my own physician and just know. Because I am not a doctor, and other technicians are not doctors. We are licensed permanent makeup artists or microblading technicians, not doctors. So the client needs to consult their doctor.
Now, has there been any issues in your state or even around the country in regards to microblading when it comes to licensing and regulations? Any major concerns
there? As of right now, the state of Virginia does not, they do not have microblading in the, I guess, in the paperwork or in black and white. As far as tattooing, that is very black and white in the state of Virginia. And this is why I encourage anyone who's in this state who is considering microblading to definitely have a permanent makeup license first. Because if they, you know, they do come around next year or 2 years and saying, okay, everyone who's doing microblading must be, you know, have a tattoo license, then they don't want to have to stop that service and cut off their clientele just to get that license. They want to have it first. But I will say that, like I said, it depends on each state. There are some states who don't even allow eyelash tinting or eyelash perming, so it really depends.
It's a lot because, and like you said, it depends on the state. Sometimes it's kind of hard to talk about certain issues when, you know, the technician is working in a different state. Like, you know, you're in Virginia. I started out in Maryland. My sister here in Georgia, you know. So it's like you can't even have a conversation sometimes about certain things because, like you said, each state is different. And I really just wish that everything was pretty much the same across the country. Like, if you don't want to allow tenting, then it shouldn't be allowed anywhere, you know.
Yeah, but what I tell all technicians is just remember that with microblading, again, you are using a blade, you are mm-hmm. opening the skin, and you are pushing pigment in. If, you know, I don't know how else to classify that as a tattoo, but a tattoo. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, henna is only sits on top. Henna, you do not use a blade. So it cannot.
Right.
So other safeties, you know, keep that in mind that, yes, you know, and other stylists or other technicians might be listening and saying, oh, I don't want, you know, to have to get a permanent makeup license, but to have your own batch. Again, you're dealing, people can bleed with this. Okay, how do you know
right.
how to deal with, you know, blood and how to protect yourself from other person's blood and, you know, how to not contaminate your tools from one person to the next. And that's very important with the permanent makeup training, you know, as a tattoo
mm-hmm.
artist. I will say that a lot of microblading training, and we should touch on that really fast, but a lot of microblading training does not really focus on the safety behind it. It's all about, you know, do this design, use my pigments, here's how you buy my equipment, make money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
there are quite a few different microblading brands out there offering
well,
the color.
Just like, I'm pretty sure if you've noticed, just like with eyelash extensions,
uh-huh.
about 10 years ago, it was a few major companies out
right.
there, maybe five, and now
right.
every other Instagram or Facebook post you come across is they have their own brand. It's because
right.
it's become more accessible for people to go online or call China. No offense,
yes.
but they can call and get, you know, and put their name on a label.
Because,
so now
well,
with microblading, it's very easy to, I mean, I know I can order pens and put I do on them, but I am careful on, okay, training on some, you know, training someone else, that's a major responsibility. Again, opening someone's skin. And right now I'm just
right.
not ready to take that step.
I'm glad you brought that up because there are, well, first of all, I know a lot of people who are getting their lash extension glue from China. And, you
yeah.
know, yeah, it's the whole reason why I've stopped getting lash extensions until we finally meet face to face and I can get them done properly.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been getting glues from China. People have been training other people on how to do lash extensions. You know, it's just like, okay, let's just say I went to school and I learned it. Well, let's just say I went to, let's say, Extreme Lashes. I took their course. I learned it. I've been doing it for 5 years. Now I'm training the next one on how to do it. What qualifies me to teach anybody without having extensive knowledge, like 5 years? I mean, that's a long time to do something. But when you're talking about training the next person, it's easy to show somebody how to do something.
Yeah, so when those troubleshooting calls come in, honey.
That's the thing. That's the thing. To me, 5 years is a long time to learn, you know, to have different situations pop up. But trust
yes.
me, there's going to be a situation outside of those 5 years that you will have never seen before.
Yes, yes. I mean, there's still things I learned with lash extensions. I mean, I've taken a lash class every year since 2007 because things
mm-hmm.
change and things do come up. And so it's not any different with the microblading and the eyebrow tattooing. Now, I've been trained with the eyeliner tattooing. I've been trained with the
mm-hmm.
lip tattooing, but I focus on the eyebrows. And so that's the
mm-hmm.
courses or the classes that I focus on because I want to stick with
mm-hmm.
the eyebrows. But,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, it's very easy now for people to go online or take a trip overseas, make a phone call, go through WhatsApp, and say, okay, I want to seal or I want to put my name on this, you know, make my own label and have my own name, my own product line. And some people can easily throw master on their title and or celebrity artist and start training.
Right.
Yeah, but when people call me and ask me, they immediately ask about price, and I say, you know, before you hang up, go through my pictures and also Google other people's pictures in the area. Look at before and afters, and definitely look for heels pictures. The same thing with technicians looking for training. Look at the trainers' pictures, the before and afters, their classes, and go and contact other students and find out about their classes. If the person is focusing on their products and just getting their money and pushing products and not about safety and design the brow and troubleshooting, then you really have to weigh that out.
Right.
So I will say that I've taken 2 microblading courses so far, and the first one I can definitely tell was about the money versus the second one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I have 2 questions for you here. One, let's talk about when you talk about designing the brow. I want to know, when you do your lash extensions, do you design the lash? Because I've had quite a few people do my lash extensions. And the very first person who's ever done my lash extension would actually design my lash on the little iPad.
Okay.
That's that she would put on my eye. She would actually design it. Like she would write, I'm going to do like a 10 here, or an 8 here, or an 11 here. She would actually write it in the area on the iPad of where she would put what length of lash. And when she finished, they were absolutely gorgeous. But then, when you start going to other people just kind of do what I found here in Atlanta, this is my experience. People, will do what they want to do. You actually have to tell, I would actually have to take, I would either actually take lashes to them or because a lot of times people didn't have the length of lash that I wanted. So I would actually have to go online to some of these, lash extension companies and buy my own lashes so that they had the length that I wanted. And so I would take my lashes or the color that I wanted. I would take my lashes to them and, tell them this is the exact length that I want. I don't want anything longer than this. So that I knew I was getting
interesting.
So that I knew that I was getting
the
length of lash that I wanted.
Because again, I'm the only one that's licensed and trained to do microblading. And what I train or have really instilled with my lash stylist is that we look at each person's face. We look at their eye shape, their hairline, people look at everything to determine which lashes fit best for them. And then we ask them, what look are you going for? Do you want a subtle difference, noticeable, or dramatic? That's what the lashes.
Honey, they ain't looking at none of that stuff.
Now with the brows, before I even lay them down, I let them know that I'm going to make 3 marks on them, where their brows should start, where their brows should end, and where their arch should be. Now, it's not to say that it has to be there, but that's just our starting guide. And then you just keep drawing from there. But I don't erase those 3 major lines, where the brow should start, end, and where the arch should be. And most of the time, if people are not used to drawing their brows in, either with pencil or powder, and I draw those 3 lines, they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know my brow should start there. I didn't know it should be over there. That's fun. But as far as the design, we really have to take into account the person's facial shape, and they should go through that in training, whether they have a heart-shaped face, diamond, round, square, and what brow should fit that face. Someone with a long oval face should not have a high arch. that mm-hmm. system looks bad. But again, in training, they should go over that. As far as the direction of the hair stroke, and, you know, I'm getting even better at this by more practice at home on fake skin and by doing more services in the studio following the natural hair direction, realizing that most people with Asian brows, their hair grows in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have, if someone wants a round base at the beginning of their brow, you have to do round strokes. If someone has more of an angle, you have to know how to change the direction of those strokes with that microblading pen. So, yeah, because you would, and I'm seeing this, and I'm pretty sure you'll come across these pictures on social media. If someone's hairs, their natural hairs are on an angle, but the microblading strokes are straight up and down, it's going to be very obvious when you heal. And it's not going to look natural. You want the strokes to blend in and look as natural as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm fine.
Well, none of that stuff considered when, whenever I got mine done. So I had to take matters in my own hands.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I'm so patiently waiting to get your names on my table. Yes, you'll
yes,
have a good experience.
Yes. I can't wait. Trust me, I cannot wait. We have to make that happen 2017. We must. We must. We must. And so my second question is, really, really quickly, let me just get this in. My second question is, okay, considering the state of the industry as you see it, where do you see the business going with, you know, I think with microblading, I think that's, you know, I think the sky's the limit with that. Where do you see all of this going? Lash extensions, microblading, you know, the permanent makeup. Where do you see all of that going? Because now, especially with lash extensions, it's like it's just like it is now in makeup. It just seems like everybody's a makeup artist or everybody's a photographer. You know, I just feel like everybody's doing lash extensions now. They're all over the place.
Yes. And pretty soon you're going to find everyone's a microblading artist or master
microblading
artist.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, soon you're going to find master tattoo removal artist.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people are looking into that because of the not so great training and not so great results that some people are getting, and they want that tattoo removed, and they don't want to wait 2 years for the microblading to fade out. And so some people are going to get them laser removal or another form of removal. I did have another company contact me. They specialize with guys with bald heads and doing their scalp. So that's another route. Even though it's going to be more accessible as far as the microblading, just like lash extensions. And look at the lace wigs. For a long time, no one really could afford or knew what a lace wig was or a lace front. And now, I mean, you can order one online. You can, you know, go down the street and get one from your local store. So it's going to make other industries come out, like I said, maybe the tattoo removal industry. That's probably going to become popular.
Right.
Beauty will always be around, so there's going to be a new way to do it.
Right.
Absolutely.
A new way to make it even more permanent, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let me ask you, are there any misconceptions about all of this, like the microblading, eyelash extensions, eyebrow extensions, you know, the permanent makeup? Are there any misconceptions out there that people, things that people really should not believe?
Well, gosh, I mean, with the lash extensions, they really should not believe that they take your lashes out. Because, again, they're done fully. They really won't. I've been wearing them since 2007, consistently, the semi-permanent ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had to have a new set since 2007. That's a long time.
It really is.
but I've always had them done by other professionals. I've had them put on individually. You know, the glue wasn't clumpy. I was able to brush through them. They didn't hurt. You know, I didn't feel them. They were done properly. And so my natural lashes continued to grow. And I have several clients who I've maintained since 2008, the beginning of my business, because, you know, putting the lashes on the right way. So the lash extensions will not destroy your natural lashes as long as they're done properly. Misconceptions about microblading. If you have a decent amount of hair or any amount of hair that you have on your brows, no, we're not going to take it all off. Some people ask me, are you going to shave it off? Are you going to wax it off? No. I'm going to try to keep as much hair as we can on there and, you know, do a design around that and just clean up around the design. So, yeah, that's one thing about on the microblading. We try to keep as much hair as we can up there.
And, you know, back to the eyelash extensions, I totally agree. You know, if you have them professionally done, and professionally done by a professional who's been trained properly and who continues to educate themselves, like you said, you've taken a class every year since your initial training. Someone who's professional but also knows how to address the client's concerns, you know, and then you have and on the other hand, a client who takes care of their lashes and does exactly what their professional technician tells them to do. I agree. I believe that you can do your lashes consistently over and over, year after year after year. Like you said, you haven't had a new set. So,
no.
They definitely don't take your lashes out.
Like, unfortunately, I had a lady, it was an emergency appointment today. One of my studios was closed, but she made an appointment and she wanted an extension removal. So I called her and said she was a new client to my studio, but she wanted a removal. And she had her lashes done at the nail salon. And I said, okay, now, nail salon is for nail.
I know, but
you know, and I was able to give her the set of semi-permanent extensions. You know, thankfully I was able to remove those and save her lashes using a good, you know, proper remover, not yanking them off, not telling her to use oil at home. So I was able to give her, you know, a new set of extensions and even better for her natural lashes. But, yeah, it's the technician should wear or experience the service themselves just so they can tell their clients about that service. You know, I can
Absolutely.
Tell my clients how to maintain their lashes and how to keep them. Like I tell them, I want to see them once a month. I don't want to see you every 2 weeks. If I see you every 2 weeks, you are doing something wrong at home. It's you. It's not me. It's you. Because I know from what I do at home, I sleep how I want to sleep, I wash my face normally, and I get my lashes touched up once a month. But if you're doing some extra stuff at home, then we need to talk about that. but again, because I wear the extensions, I can tell them how to maintain them.
Right.
Because I've had my eyebrows microbladed, I can tell my clients, you know, how it's going to feel, or at least, you know, how the whole process is going to go, even the healing, because, you know, we didn't really talk about that, but the healing is very interesting. You know, you can't wash your brows for 7 days. And some people are like, oh, my goodness, they're too dark at first. And then they become patchy because you have little scabs missing. And then when they're able to wash their brows, you lose 50% of the color, and they're like, oh, I want them dark again. And everyone goes through this, everyone. Every single time. But, again, I can tell them, you know, Mike and how what they're going to go through because I went through it myself. And quite a few people tell me, that they appreciate that, or they come to me because I've had the service done.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, you're like a walking billboard for your own studio.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
That's good stuff. Yes. And so you said you have two locations. How far are they away from each other?
About 45 minutes apart.
Okay.
Yes.
So still Southern Virginia.
Yes. One is more towards the Williamsburg area, and the other one is Virginia Beach, you know, towards the oceanfront. So totally two different clientele, two totally different areas in Southern Virginia.
And you said you were the only one, is it in the state of Virginia or Southern Virginia that does the microblading?
No, right now in my studio, I'm the only one that's licensed in my studio to do it. There are a few other people in this area. Mm-hmm. There are a few other people in Hampton Roads that are trained in microblading. I know there are a couple people in Richmond, Virginia who do it, and definitely in Northern Virginia.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But again, just like the lash extension, for a while it was maybe four or five studios in my area that really specialize in eyelash extensions, and that was a lot more. So you're going to expect a lot more microblading cases to pop up soon.
Right.
Yeah.
It's growing.
Yes.
It's growing.
And now
well,
people
really
are offering online training, so that's, watch out.
Online training, okay.
Yeah, they are. I've seen that they're offering online training now. So, yeah, it's a lot of people are going to be offering it.
Okay. So it's coming.
Mhm.
It's definitely coming. I just, I just wish people, you know, who want to do it would take it seriously and get the proper training, because it's not something, you know, it's not as easy as tweezing someone's brows or, you know. It's a lot more involved.
I mean, especially with the color theory. I've made mistakes in the past as far as with color, whether it's too light, you know, being very timid or scared, and, you know, the client saying, well, I don't want them too dark. And you're like, okay, well, let me use a really light brown. And then when they come back, it's like, well, it's not even showing up. And the whole thing over,
right.
You know, going too dark at first for a blonde or for a redhead. So color theory is very important, and it's a lot. It's definitely a lot with the microblading. And I really do wish people, you know, would take more than a two-day training class or more than just one online training class. You know, if you're going to take a two-day class, do more than one two-day class.
Gotcha.
You know, take more, you know.
Now, can training be very expensive for microblading?
Yes. Oh, yes, and I am finding, I'm realizing that, again, if you put that master, if you change that title, you know, on your name and you say you're from another country, oh, you can definitely charge a lot more.
Yes. Do you understand?
But, I mean, I really don't know, you know, how to gauge tuition, because I am a person who believes you have to invest in yourself.
Right.
I would not pay $10,000 for this type of training, unless you're going to train that person for a month and you're going to live with them. But I would not pay $1,000 either, because that seems way too low. You know, you want the trainer's time, you want their attention, you want to pick that person's brain, because again, you have to deal with color theory, deal with any contraindications, you know, any medical issues beforehand. You know, how to go through your form, go through the waiver form.
Do you suggest one-on-one training?
No, because it depends on the person. Some people work best one-on-one, and some people can do well in a group. I will say that larger groups, you will not. I would say that smaller groups are not large ones.
Right.
You know, you do want someone to watch you do these practice strokes on the practice stand and or paper before touching a live person. Because once you put that stroke in there, that's pretty much it. It's there for the next at least 6 months. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for a little self promotion. So shout out where we can find you on social media and
yes. Well, the website is iedux.com. It's EYEDEUX. Yes, it's a little French at the end. I do. You can find me us on Facebook, Pinterest, all under I do. Yeah, and that's pretty much how you can find us. It's all under I do, one word.
And tell us one thing about I do as a little self promotion. What is it about I do that should attract people in your area to come and get their
microblading done or their eyelash extension done? Well, I just want to stress and to let people really understand that we only specialize in eyelashes and eyebrows. We're not going to try to sell you a handbag, a scarf. We're not going to try to do your nails, do a facial, just your eyelash and your eyebrows. I do realize that there are other salon studios in the area who can do multiple services and do them quite well, but we are great at these things, eyelashes and eyebrows. So
that is funny.
Yeah.
That's great, though. That's great. I mean, because that says a lot, you know, that you concentrate on those things.
I want people to know that, you know, when they come to our studios, and, you know, we have client testimonies, you know, to attest to this, and when they come in, you know, it's a relaxing place. You know, we ask them to turn their phones off. It's a mommy-free zone. It's a work-free zone. No one's going to be calling you, asking to do this, asking what's for dinner. What are you going to know? It's time for you to lay down, relax, and get away from the rest of the world for at least an hour. And so we try to create that. No, we're not trying. We do create that environment where they can just get away and be focused on their eyelash and their eyebrows and not try to sell them or push them on anything else. And they appreciate that.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Ms. LaToya. We appreciate
thank
you being
you,
on the show
lady.
With us tonight. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So we're going to get it done. We're going to try to get it done in 2017 this time. We're going to work hard at it.
Yeah.
To get to that Virginia Beach area and get those lash extensions done.
Yes, indeed.
And you have purple, right?
Yes, we do. A different shade of purple, of course.
Okay. We just want to make sure you got that Raven's purple.
Yeah. Yes, I'll make sure I have that ready.
Look, and you got some tens, right?
Yes, it was.
Say that again.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said the 10 millimeters.
Oh, yes, I have everything from 5 to 17. I definitely got you. Different
great.
Curls, yes, indeed.
Great. All right, thank you so much, LaToya. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. You too, ladies. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in with us and hanging out with us. I see Sharantina on the line. Hi, Sharantina. Hopefully you had a great weekend. And I see a couple others out there. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. And as always, thank you for your continued support. We'll be back next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great show, so stay tuned.
Oh, and let me just say,
hold on, let me just say that you can follow us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio. On Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. And on Twitter, we're beauty_talk.
Right.
And you can follow our tweet chats by searching the hashtag Beauty Lounge and Beauty Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.